Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartreys podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mira Rowan's You Can Love Yourself and Still Want to Change is an emotional self-help book in the Heal Your Inner You series, a collection aimed especially at women navigating healing, self-trust, and emotional recovery. The book addresses a common tension in personal growth culture, the fear that wanting to change means rejecting oneself. Rowan positions self-acceptance not as passive satisfaction with everything as it is, but as a steadier foundation from which growth can happen without shame. Its purpose is to help readers separate the wish for a fuller, healthier life from the belief that they are currently inadequate. Rather than presenting healing as a linear project of fixing flaws, the book emphasizes returning to oneself, acknowledging pain, and allowing improvement to coexist with enoughness. Its style appears accessible and concise, with short reflective sections designed for readers who may feel emotionally exhausted but still want practical reassurance and perspective. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, self-love and change are framed as compatible rather than contradictory. The central idea of the book is that self-love does not require abandoning the desire to grow. This is important because many self-help approaches unintentionally divide readers between two incomplete options. One option suggests that real acceptance means staying exactly as one is. The other suggests that improvement must begin with dissatisfaction or harsh self-criticism. Rowan challenges that split by treating self-acceptance as the emotional ground on which change can become healthier. Wanting to set boundaries, heal old wounds, improve habits, or ask more from life does not have to imply that the present self is defective. The reasoning is that growth driven by shame often becomes unstable because it depends on self-rejection for motivation. By contrast, growth rooted in self-regard can be more sustainable because it does not require a person to despise the version of themselves that is struggling. The book, therefore, reframes change as care, not condemnation. This gives readers permission to pursue better conditions while still recognizing their present worth. Secondly, enoughness is treated as a present reality, not a future reward. A significant theme is the distinction between being enough today and still wanting more tomorrow. The book appears to push against the common belief that personal worth must be earned through healing, productivity, emotional control, or visible transformation. In this framework, enoughness is not the final result of self-improvement. It is the starting premise that allows improvement to occur without becoming a constant verdict on the self. This distinction matters because many readers of emotional self-help are already familiar with therapy language, journaling, and inner work, yet may still feel that they are always behind. Rowan's approach addresses that fatigue by separating a person's value from the pace of their progress. The practical implication is that setbacks, unfinished healing, or lingering pain do not cancel self-worth. A person can be incomplete in their process and still not be inadequate as a human being. This makes the book less about achieving a perfected self and more about developing a stable relationship with the self during change. Thirdly, healing is described as coming home to the self rather than fixing a broken identity. The book belongs to a series centered on emotional healing, and its language suggests a clear preference for restoration over repair. Instead of treating readers as broken people who must be corrected, it presents healing as a movement back toward self-trust, self-recognition, and emotional honesty. This is a meaningful difference within the self-help category. Fixing language can make pain feel like evidence of personal failure, while coming home language implies that the self has been obscured by hardship, survival habits, or prolonged emotional strain. The book's likely appeal comes from this gentler, but still active model. It does not deny the need for change, but it avoids making change synonymous with erasing the current self. In practical terms, this helps readers examine painful patterns without identifying entirely with them. A coping strategy, fear response, or emotional block can be acknowledged as something learned under pressure rather than treated as a permanent character flaw. That framing supports compassion while still leaving room for responsibility. Fourthly, the book speaks to readers who have already done inner work but still feel stuck. One of the more specific features of the book is its audience. It is not aimed only at readers beginning a self-help journey. The description suggests it also addresses people who have read healing books, tried therapeutic tools, reflected deeply, and still feel conflicted or tired. This gives the book a different function from introductory guides that simply define self-care or self-esteem. Its concern is the emotional aftermath of repeated effort, especially the feeling that continued struggle means one has failed at healing. Rowan's message counters that interpretation by normalizing the coexistence of effort and unfinished growth. This is useful because self-help culture can create pressure to display constant breakthroughs. Readers may learn the language of healing, but still privately judge themselves for not feeling transformed. By validating that tension, the book helps reduce secondary shame, which is the shame of not healing quickly enough. Its practical value lies in helping readers reframe stuckness as information about unmet needs, grief, exhaustion, or complexity, rather than proof that change is impossible. Lastly, accessible. Bite-sized reflection is used to reduce emotional overwhelm. Reader responses and available descriptions indicate that the book uses concise, digestible sections rather than dense theory. This structure is well-suited to its subject because people reading about self-acceptance and emotional recovery may not have the capacity for long, technical arguments. Short sections can make reflection easier to revisit, especially when the material touches shame, exhaustion, or unresolved pain. The format also supports gradual internalization. A reader does not need to master a complex system. Instead, they can absorb repeated clarifications about worth, growth, and self-compassion. This does not mean the book is necessarily simplistic. In this type of emotional self-help, accessibility can be part of the method. The point is to make difficult truths usable in ordinary moments, such as when a reader is comparing themselves to others, regretting past choices, or feeling impatient with their own progress. The bite-sized approach also makes the book suitable for highlighting, rereading, and using as a companion during an ongoing healing process, rather than as a one-time instructional manual. In conclusion, You Can Love Yourself and Still Want to Change is best suited for readers who feel caught between self-acceptance and the desire for transformation. It may be especially useful for women who have spent years managing emotional difficulty, exploring self-help tools, or trying to rebuild trust in themselves after disappointment or hardship. The practical benefit of the book is not a rigid program, but a clearer emotional framework wanting growth does not have to be interpreted as evidence of self-rejection. Intellectually, it helps separate worth from progress, which is a valuable distinction in a genre that often turns healing into another performance standard. Compared with many personal growth books that emphasize goals, habits, or reinvention, Rowan's book stands out for focusing on the emotional contradiction beneath those efforts. It is less concerned with becoming a dramatically new person, and more concerned with changing without abandoning the present self. That positioning makes it useful for readers who are tired of aggressive transformation language, but do not want complacency either. Its strength lies in validating complexity. One can be tired and still growing, wounded and still worthy, unfinished and still enough. If you would like to support Mira Rowan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.